The PACER Center offers families of children and youth with disabilities the options, information, and support they need to achieve their goals. Whether you suspect your toddler needs special assistance or your teenager needs help in the school environment, PACER can help identify the information and resources available to help your family learn and grow. PACER's programs address special needs for all ages of childhood and all disabilities. If you have any questions about this information or you need assistance, please call the PACER Center at 952-838-9000 or TTY at 952-838-0190. Toll free in Greater Minnesota, 1-800-537-2237, or contact us at our website at www.pacer.org. This audio tape covers several special education topics, including the IFSP, the Individualized Family Service Plan, the IEP, which is the Individualized Education Program, the Triple IP, which is Individual Interagency Intervention Plan, attending meetings to plan your child's special education program, and how to involve your child in that process. We will begin this series with, what is the difference between an IFSP and an IEP? Let's start with the question. My 2-year-old son has an Individualized Family Service Plan, or an IFSP. We are told that when he turns 3, he will have an Individualized Educational Program, IEP. What is the difference? Here is PACER's response. The difference between the IFSP and the IEP is philosophical in part, says Judy Sweat, PACER parent advocate. An IEP is an education document for children ages 3 to 21. Its focus is on the special education and related services needs of an individual child in school. The IEP is a written plan that guides your child's special education services. The plan must allow your child to advance appropriately toward meeting annual IEP goals, allow your child to be involved in and progress in the general curriculum where appropriate, guide the staff in providing services, and record the services that the school district has committed to provide. An IFSP is much broader. It serves children from birth through age 2. Its focus is on the family and includes professionals from several disciplines in planning for the child. An IFSP is based on an in-depth assessment of the child's strengths and needs and the needs, concerns, and priorities of the family. It contains outcomes for the child, services the child and family will receive to help him or her achieve the outcomes, and additional formal and informal supports the family might use to achieve those outcomes. Sweat adds that services available through the IFSP are usually provided in the child's home. Changes in the Federal Individuals with Disability Education Act, or IDEA, however, state that services are to be provided in the child's natural environment. This could also include a child care setting, preschool, or other community setting in which young children without disabilities would typically be found. An IFSP is a document or written plan. The term IFSP also refers to the process of determining what services a young child with disabilities needs. It uses an interagency approach by involving representatives of several agencies, usually education, health, and human services, and other resources that can help the child and family. A service coordinator is assigned to assist the child's family through the IFSP process. The service coordinator convenes IFSP planning meetings after contacting professionals who should be involved in the child's plan and others the family would like to attend the meeting. The main purpose of the IFSP meeting is to talk about the concerns of the family and for the team to offer information and resources. A planning meeting must also define each agency's role and financial responsibility in the child's plan. Many school districts will, if you request, extend a child's IFSP document past age 2 using it as an IEP. The interagency approach required for children through age 2 by IDEA ends in most states when a child turns 3 years old. Local districts working under state regulations then take up management of the child's IEP. Next, we will hear about Minnesota's Individual Interagency Intervention Plan, or the IIIP, Multi-Agency Service Planning Option. For many years, federal and state laws have required interagency planning for children from birth to 3 years of age who qualify for early intervention services. Through the Interagency Services for Children with Disabilities Act of 1998, Minnesota extended interagency planning to all children with disabilities receiving special education services and services from at least one other public agency. The multi-agency process and plan is the Individual Interagency Intervention Plan, or IIIP. The following section will be in a question-answer format. What is the IIIP? The IIIP is both a process and a document. The IIIP process is an option for families. Everyone who provides services and supports can be at the same table with you to solve problems, coordinate services, and share resource information. The goal is better coordination of existing services and supports in school, home, and community. Because the law builds on existing local systems of interagency collaboration, the process itself may look somewhat different among local communities. The IIIP document is a standardized state form containing all of the elements of the Individualized Education Program, the IEP, as well as the elements of other agency plan or plans it may replace. For example, a child who receives special education under developmental cognitive disability criteria and also receives county developmental disability services could have one meeting with school and county representatives, resulting in a single document, the IIIP, that combines and replaces the IEP and the Individual Service Plan, ISP, documents. Who's eligible for a IIIP? As of July 1, 2003, children ages birth to 21 who receive special services from 2 or more public agencies will be eligible to use the IIIP. Special education instruction and services may continue up until July 1st of the year that the student turns 21, provided the student has not yet graduated from high school. For example, an eligible student who turns 21 on May 1st, 2003, may continue to receive special education services only until July 1st of that year. A student who turns 21 on July 2nd of 2003 may continue to receive special education services until July 1st, 2004. What public agencies have agreed to coordinate services and support under the IIIP? 14 federal, state, and county services and programs are to be coordinated under the legislation. These include publicly funded special education, social service, health, mental health, developmental disabilities, corrections, medical assistance, rehabilitation, and Head Start programs and services. What plans can the IIIP document replace? The IIIP is approved as a replacement for these plans: the Individualized Service Plan, ISP, Community Alternative Care Plan, CAC, Community Alternative for Disabled Individuals Plan, the CADI, Traumatic Brain Injury Plan, TBI, Individualized Education Plan, IEP, the Individual Family Community Support Plan, IFCSP, Individual Family Service Plan, IFSP, and the Multi-Agency Plan of Care. What plans may be coordinated through the IIIP process? The Individualized Plan for Employment, IPE, Corrections, Individualized Habilitation or Program Plans, IHP and IPP, the Individualized Treatment Plan, ITP, Out-of-Home Placement Plans, Nursing Care Plans, Home Care Plans, and other provider or program-specific plans. When can we begin using the IIIP? If your child meets eligibility, you may choose the IIIP option when your child's IEP or other formal plan is due for annual review. Will services change or increase if I use the IIIP? Services that each agency is responsible to provide will not change. The IIIP does not provide additional funding for services. However, new ways of providing services or support may be created to better meet your child's needs. For example, an effective behavior plan used at school might also be helpful when used in the child's home by a personal care attendant. Consistent cues and responses used both at school and home may help your child to make better progress towards that desired behavior. How will the IIIP meeting be different from the IEP meeting? The IEP meeting is for planning educational services only. While other service providers may attend, they do not use the meeting to plan their services and support. With the IIIP, public service providers are members of the planning team and use the meeting to plan their agency's services and supports for your child. Who's required to be at the IIIP meeting? The IIIP team includes the required IEP team members, which are parent, special education teacher, district representative, and the regular education teacher, as well as representatives from the other public agencies providing services and supports who have been invited by the school or the parent. Who will be the case manager if I use the IIIP? IEP managers may often continue to serve as the IIIP managers. Before the IIIP meeting, ask your current case managers how the responsibilities will be carried out. In many communities, county and education staff will facilitate the meeting together, with county staff taking the lead on home and community issues, and the school staff taking the lead on educational issues. As a parent, what is my role in the decision-making process of the IIIP? Families continue to be central to the planning of the IIIP. The right to agree or disagree to services has not been changed with the IIIP. In the agencies where you had the right to make decisions, you will still have that opportunity. For example, you must be in agreement with your child's initial IEP before it can be implemented. What are the timelines for the IIIP? Each agency will be responsible for completion of the required portion of the IIIP document on their required agency timeline and will need to obtain the required signatures. In order to meet their required signature timelines, the school may give you their elements of the IIIP document to sign before you receive the entire IIIP document. In addition, each agency may have different timelines in which to begin to implement the agreed-upon services. Be sure to discuss this with your case manager so you will have clear expectations about when all services and supports will begin. Do I have to use the IIIP? A family may choose not to use the IIIP process and the interagency planning team. You have the option to continue with separate meetings and written plans from each agency. The school district, however, may choose to use the IIIP document, that's the form, for your child's IEP, even though you have chosen not to use the IIIP process. Contact your school or county case manager for more information and help in deciding which option best fits the unique needs of your child and family. Where can I find more information about the IIIP? Contact your school or county case manager for more information about the IIIP process in your community. Contact PACER Center for more information about your rights and responsibilities in the IIIP process. Now let's cover attending meetings to plan your child's individualized education program, or the IEP. Before the IEP planning meeting, consider the vision you have for your child for the future as well as for the present year. List your child's strengths, needs, and interests and your major concerns about his or her education. Consider how your child's disability affects his or her education. Think about your child's educational progress. What has been working and what has not? Request a written copy of your child's evaluation results or a meeting with school staff to discuss the evaluation before the IEP meeting. This gives you an opportunity to understand the evaluation before the IEP planning for your child. Consider the evaluation results. Do they fit with what you know about your child? Is the evaluation complete and accurate? If you disagree with the school's evaluation, you may request in writing an independent education evaluation, an IEE, at no cost to you. The school must provide the evaluation or show through a due process hearing that its evaluation is appropriate. The results of an IEE must be considered by the team in planning. Consider a variety of ways to involve your child in planning his or her IEP, starting at a young age. Self-advocacy skills are important to develop. If needed, plan to bring someone with you to the meeting, such as your spouse, relative, friend, or representative from a local disability organization. At the IEP planning meeting, this meeting is very important. You, the school staff, and other parties attending the meeting will review and discuss information about your child to plan the IEP. It provides an excellent opportunity to ask questions and share important insight about your child, whom you know better than anyone else does. The school needs to know what your child is like at home and in the community, as well as what your child's interests and activities are. Make sure others at the meeting never forget the meeting is about a real child. Share your visions for your child, both short-term and long-term. Discuss your child's strengths and needs and your concerns about your child's education. Remember that diagnostic tests and assessments do not present the total picture. When you believe that the teacher and school personnel are doing a good job, tell them so. Praise when deserved is a great thing. Be a good listener. Ask questions. Make sure you understand. If you don't understand something, ask to have it explained in a way that you can understand. Expect that what you know about your child will be used in making decisions. Use school data, your child's progress reports, and other information you know about your child to make decisions. Take the proposed IEP document home to review or ask that a copy be sent to you. You probably will not want to agree to a proposed IEP at the end of the meeting. You have 14 calendar days from the time you receive the written IEP to agree or disagree with the program in writing and return to the school. What to do after the IEP planning meeting? Your child's IEP must be reviewed at least once a year to determine whether the annual goals have been achieved and to revise the IEP if necessary. You must be informed regularly about your child's progress at least as often as parents who have children without disabilities are informed about the progress their children are making. You will be informed about whether your child is making progress towards meeting the IEP goals and whether the progress is enough to reach the goals. If your child is not making adequate progress, an IEP meeting should be held to review the IEP and make needed changes. You may request an IEP meeting at any time. Finally, how can my child be involved in the IEP or triple IP process? The Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA of 97, states that a child should attend his or her individualized education program conference, if appropriate. Each family must decide if the child should attend based on individual circumstances. Families who include their child in the IEP or triple IP meetings report that the child's presence puts the focus on the child. The child must be invited anytime transition needs or services are discussed. In Minnesota, transition must be addressed by age 14 or grade 9. It is essential that adolescents participate in IEP development because this is a major part of their lives and they need to take charge of it as much as possible. Children need as much practice and self-advocacy as possible before they turn 18 when parental rights transfer to the special education student, unless guardianship or conservatorship has been established. Self-advocacy skills prepare students for the world and their future beyond high school. The IEP conference provides an excellent opportunity for self-advocacy and learning important life skills by helping the student to practice goal setting and teamwork, understand the impact of his or her disability, learn how to ask for and accept help from others, to understand his or her own strengths and needs, express his or her own needs and concerns, and participate in a process of resolving differences. Some parents have concerns about involving their children in IEP meetings. Here are some common questions you can ask to help decide how best to involve your child. I think my child is too young to participate. Ask your child if she has anything she'd like you to share at the meeting. Afterward, sit down with your child to explain the goals you and the school discussed for the next year. Talk with your child about these goals before you sign the IEP. I've never taken my child before. Discuss the meeting process with your child. Would he like to attend, or would he like to attend part of the meeting, say, at the beginning to introduce himself and his interests, or at the end to review what the team has proposed? Would your child be willing to share ideas and opinions at the meeting or on paper? How would your child react if something negative were said about him? My child chooses not to attend. Discuss what your child would like you to say to the team on her behalf. Consider taking notes to read at the meeting, or read what your child has written. Ask your child, what do you want to learn this year? What are your special concerns for this school year? How do you learn the best? What do you need to be successful? What would make learning easier for you? The meetings are too stressful, too negative for my child. Talk with your child about what he wants to say. Help him phrase and practice statements before the meeting, or help him write notes or an outline of what to say. Consider inviting your child to only part of the meeting. Ask your child to share his strengths, interests, and accomplishments at the beginning of the meeting. You can also let him invite someone who will help him feel more comfortable. If a meeting becomes too difficult for your child, the meeting can be stopped, or the child could be allowed to leave. My child attended and it didn't work. Rethink the circumstances and what happened. Can any of the above suggestions be tried? Don't let one incident determine that the child will never participate again. If you have further questions about this information or you need assistance, please call the PACER Center at 952-838-9000, TTY at 952-838-0190, toll-free in Greater Minnesota, 1-800-537-2237, or contact us at our website at www.pacer.org.